In the popular 1998 movie Shakespeare in Love, young Will Shakespeare composes these lines and his beloved Viola, played by Gwyneth Paltrow, reads them in a letter.
For Lady Viola de Lesseps, by the hand of Thomas Kent.
Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate.
Sounds pretty romantic. What you may not realize is most scholars think Shakespeare wrote those lines not to a young woman, but to a young man. I'm Sarah McConnell, and today on With Good Reason, new insight into Shakespeare's sonnets, 400 years old this year.
What light is light if Sylvia be not seen? What joy is joy if Sylvia be not by? Unless it be to think that she is by and feed upon the shadow.
Later on today's show, a veteran film and theater costume designer says the best costumes are the ones you don't notice right away.
It's easy to make something pretty. You know, pretty things are easy. So the grittier and the more realistic the costumes are, the more attracted I am to the design.
But first, William Shakespeare's sonnets were published 400 years ago, and for decades were seen as some of his worst work. Nowadays, we celebrate the sonnets for their beautiful language and clever musings about life and love. Robert Matz chairs the English department at George Mason University and is the author of the new book, The World of Shakespeare's Sonnets. Matz says if you read the sonnets in high school or college and didn't realize many were written to a young man, you're not alone. But he thinks to fully appreciate the poems, it helps to think about who they were written for and why. Robert, what was the biggest slam by critics of the sonnets in subsequent years?
That they were trivial, that they were over-emotional, and also, since many of the sonnets were written to a young man, and clearly so, there was worry about the morality of them. Although I should also say, there was also worry about the morality of the sonnets that are written to a woman, because the relationship there is clearly adulterous. This is not Shakespeare's wife. People have wondered, were these moral concerns the reason that the sonnets were not initially popular? And other people just say the sonnet was a fad in the late 16th century, in the 1590s especially. And when they were published in 1609, people were kind of tired of sonnets. In fact, Shakespeare in his own plays makes fun of people who like to write sonnets. So it's interesting that Shakespeare, you know, tries his hand at his own sequence.
Read for me one of the sonnets, maybe not just one of the sonnets. Read for me the most famous sonnet that all of us have probably heard or been made to memorize. Mm-hmm.
I think the most famous sonnet today is Sonnet 18, Shall I Compare Thee to a Summer's Day? Many people know this sonnet, and it's the sonnet that the writers of Shakespeare in Love picked for Josephine to read to Gwyneth Paltrow. Although, interestingly, they only read about the first four lines of the sonnet. Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate. Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May, and summer's lease hath all too short a date. Sometimes too hot the eye of heaven shines, and often is his gold complexion dimmed, and every fair from fair sometimes declines, by chance or nature's changing course untrimmed. But thy eternal summer shall not fade, nor lose possession of that fair thou owest. Nor shall death brag thou wanderest in his shade, when in eternal lines to time thou growest. So long as men can breathe or eyes can see, so long lives this, and this gives life to thee. While we think of it as a romantic sonnet, it's actually quite anti-romantic. What is romance for us? It's a summer's day. It's being in darling buds of May. It's a kind of, you know, beautiful spring picnic. And that's exactly what Shakespeare is saying. This young man is not. This beloved is not a summer's day, is not May time. And why? Because May fades, because the buds get nipped and summer ends. He goes immediately from a summer's day to eternal summer, that is, to the young man's death. You know, why in a love poem is Shakespeare already thinking about the death of his beloved? That really interests me. And it's what gets cut out. in Shakespeare in Love, for example. You're better than a summer's day. That's nice. You're going to die? Not so romantic after all.
You know, we're talking about how this sonnet and a number of others were written to a young man. There are how many sonnets altogether?
There are 154.
And of those, how many are written to a woman and how many to a man?
Most scholars believe that the first 126 are written to a young man and the last 28 are written to or about a woman.
Why do you think so few of us who studied Shakespeare in high school, grade school, and college don't realize that?
Honestly, I think for a long time this has been a source of discomfort because love between men has a vexed place in our culture. It was easier just to talk about love in general or to allow people to think about the sonnet as if they were written to a woman.
Do you think I'm misremembering what teachers taught me, or do you think it probably that I'm right? It simply didn't come up earlier.
I don't think you're misremembering. If you look, for example, at the covers of early editions of the sonnets from the later 20th century, many of them have a woman on the cover, even though just by sheer numbers, you'd expect a man to be on the cover. And you see that more now. I don't think, though, that I really knew that they were addressed to a man, at least until college and maybe graduate school. Now, that was in the 80s. That situation has changed a great deal.
Some of the earliest sonnets written supposedly to the young man are said to be more sort of father-son in tone, where Shakespeare is directing the young man, who he finds very beautiful mm-hmm. and handsome, to be sure to marry and procreate.
Yeah, they're sometimes called the procreation sonnets. Why don't I read the first sonnet of the sequence? Sonnet 1. From fairest creatures we desire increase, that thereby beauty's rose might never die. But as the riper should by time decrease, his tender heir might bear his memory. But thou, contracted to thine own bright eyes, feedest thy light's flame with self-substantial fuel, making a famine where abundance lies, thyself thy foe, to thy sweet self too cruel. Thou that art now the world's fresh ornament, and only herald to the gaudy spring, within thine own bud buriest thy content, and, tender churl, makest waste in niggarding. Pity the world, or else this glutton be, to eat the world's dew by the grave and thee. This sonnet actually has a lot in common with Sonnet 18, even though one is a love sonnet and this one is urging the young man to marry and have a child. Beauty's rose is going to die. Summer is going to fade. And how do you preserve beauty? Can beauty be preserved? In this sonnet, the solution is to have a tender heir, to have a child.
Did Shakespeare have children?
Yes, Shakespeare did have children.
And did he have sons?
He had a son who died.
Died young?
Died young, yes. Yes. Right. The son's name was Hamnet, which was a version of the word Hamlet. I think that Shakespeare was confronted by death in a way that we still are, but even more so. Child death or the death of a wife in childbirth was very frequent.
So how many of the sonnets are these, are in the procreation sonnet?
There are about 16.
There are about 16
yeah.
admonitions to a handsome young man to marry and have children. That's a lot.
That's right. That's right.
I could see two,
yeah.
three. Like, did
yeah.
you not hear me?
Yeah. Well, again, I mean, the sonnet is a kind of obsessive form, right? Because it's small enough that you can just do it again and think, well, If you like that one, I can do it five other ways. And also, rhetoric was just a very, very highly prized skill.
But this one harping theme, mm-hmm. you know, marry and procreate, maybe he was writing the sonnet for a nobleman who was giving him money to exquisitely craft a message to the nobleman's son.
Yeah, that's been a theory. It's certainly possible that that's how Shakespeare started to write these sonnets. When people talk about the nature of the relationship between the beloved young man and Shakespeare, was it sexual? Was it spiritual? The sonnet that they often turn to is Sonnet 20, which is a quite witty sonnet. So here's the sonnet. A woman's face with nature's own hand painted, hast thou, the master mistress of my passion. A woman's gentle heart, but not acquainted with shifting change, as is false women's fashion. And I more bright than theirs, less false and rolling, gilding the object whereupon it gazeth. A man in hue, all hues in his controlling, which steals men's eyes and women's souls amazeth. And for a woman wert thou first created, till nature, as she wrought thee, fell a-doting, and by addition me of thee defeated, by adding one thing to my purpose nothing. But since she pricked thee out for women's pleasure, mine be thy love, and thy love's use their treasure. This is another one of Shakespeare's pretty bawdy sonnets. The story here is that this person was originally created to be a woman, but nature, who's also described as female here, in creating this person, falls in love. And she adds one thing to my purpose, nothing. And that one thing, of course, is a penis. This sonnet has been often looked at to discuss the question of sexuality in the sonnets. I think it's important to note that understandings of sexuality were quite different in Shakespeare's time. When we think about sexuality today, we tend to divide the world into heterosexual and homosexual. That was much less the case in Shakespeare's time. In Shakespeare's time, people would much more likely think chaste or unchaste. And in fact, in some ways, unmarried sex between man and woman was more of a concern in Renaissance England than same-sex sexual relationships. Often today, when we think about love between men, we think about it as something countercultural or subversive. In Shakespeare's day, the love between men was absolutely central. Men frequently spoke to one another in terms that we would consider quite erotic. The love between men was celebrated. Shakespeare's time was looking back both to the celebrated love between warriors in terms of, say, Arthurian legends, and also one of the most important meanings of the Renaissance is the rediscovery of classical literature. And of course, classical literature often celebrated male friendship. And in addition, there were institutional reasons. It was largely a man's world. Men governed together, they went to school together, and they fought together. So male friendship is very important.
How are Shakespeare's sonnets more richly written than other sonnets of the day? Can you think of a bad sonnet so we can see?
Shakespeare's sonnets, I think, appeal to us very much because, in a way, they actually mute their rhetorical effects much more than some other sonneteers. There's a really funny off-color sonnet written by a guy named Barnaby Barnes. He is praising his mistress, and then he starts imagining that he could be some of her clothing, so he could be the pearls that wrap around her neck. And then finally he says, I wish I could be your wine, so you would drink me, and I would pass by pleasure's part. So he's imagining he'll be peed out and, you know, get a kind of intimate experience that way. And I think that he is making fun of elaborate sonnet metaphors and how silly they can get. And another very famous sonnet, another one that many of us know, Shakespeare is exactly making fun of elaborate sonnet metaphors. And this is Sonnet 130, My Mistress's Eyes Are Nothing Like the Sun. My mistress's eyes are nothing like the sun. Coral is far more red than her lips red. If snow be white, why then her breasts are dun. If hair be wires, black wires grow on her head. I have seen roses damasked, red and white, but no such roses see I in her cheeks. And in some perfumes there is more delight than in the breath that from my mistress reeks. I love to hear her speak, yet well I know that music hath a far more pleasing sound. I grant I never saw a goddess go. My mistress, when she walks, treads on the ground. And yet, by heaven, I think my love is rare, as any she belied with false compare. So at the end of the sonnet, Shakespeare is talking about these other women who are belied, who are lied about by false comparisons, extravagant claims that my mistress's eyes are like the sun, or, you know, and this is why people have really liked Sonnet 130. In fact, it's almost the only popular sonnet out of the sonnets written to a woman, because it seems to be saying, my mistress is real. I'm really regarding her.
He's either saying that, or he's saying she's ugly and I don't care that much for her. Ha ha.
Right. And I think it's telling that one of the most loving sonnets is still quite ironic, quite ambivalent about her. You know, people used to say, oh, the word reeks didn't have the meaning of stinks that it now does. But in fact, it did have that meaning in the early modern
nice
period.
Try.
Yeah, absolutely.
So who's his audience? Surely he didn't expect to make money sending out a sonnet like that and having young ladies of the day snap it up. Mm-hmm. If sonnets are like movies in modern time, this was no chick flick.
Absolutely.
So guys would have liked this, maybe.
Right. And, you know, that's one of the arguments that modern critics have made about why the sonnets initially don't seem to have been so popular, is, you know, these sonnets to the woman are not very romantic. People wrote sonnets for a number of reasons. One was to gain patronage from noble men or noble women. By showing that you were a good writer, there would be opportunities to be a tutor in a noble household, or to be a secretary, which could be quite a privileged position to a nobleman or noble woman. Some people think that the sonnets were private musings that eventually got made public, maybe against Shakespeare's will. But even if that's the case, the way they would have eventually gotten into the public is that you'd write a sonnet and you'd give it to your friends. And it's kind of like having a great bootleg tape. People would want to have the poetry of somebody famous or becoming famous. There's kind of who's in, who's out. Do you have so-and-so sonnets? Whether they were sold or whether they were just passed around in manuscript, the sonnets were a kind of not just expressions of love, but Shakespeare had some kinds of interest in them as well.
Well, Robert Matz, thank you for sharing your insights with me about Shakespeare today and with good reason.
Oh, thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
Robert Matz is a professor of English at George Mason University and the author of The World of Shakespeare Sonnets. Coming up next, a costume designer for Broadway shows shares the tricks of her trade.